Evening, everybody. Evening. It's great to be here with you tonight. I'm so incredibly grateful for another opportunity to speak. I wanted to say thank you to the people that are up in the sound booth that are taking care of the audio and the visual. I recognize that it's a difficult job to do because if everything goes perfect, nobody even notices you. So thank you so much for doing that. It made me think about that this morning as I was trying to teach a Bible class and everything just went terribly wrong because I don't know anything about technology. So we're very thankful for the people that take care of those things up there. And if nothing goes wrong, please find them and say thank you. And if something goes wrong, that's all on me. We'll take that tonight. Tonight I wanted to talk about something that has been really close to my heart over the past few weeks. Some of you might remember this time. You might think that the hardest part about being a parent is whenever the kids are waking up a lot and in the middle of the night you're just really stressful about all the work that has to be done the next couple days. That's really not the hardest part. At this point we have a four, almost five-year-old, and some of you might remember that time when the kids start asking really difficult questions. Do you remember that? When it's not necessarily changing diapers anymore, that's the hardest thing, or the lack of sleep, that's the hardest thing, but some of these really difficult questions that are asked. When we think about what we've been focusing on here in October, I've been thinking about the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the poetry that's there for us to see, but also the wisdom that has been given, especially here in the book of Proverbs, from a father to a son. It's really been on my heart lately because there's been some tough questions asked at our house, and I pray for wisdom to be able to answer those questions. I really love the book of Proverbs. It is a book of 31 chapters, and so if there's ever a month that has 31 days, it's an easy way to keep up with some Bible reading, but it's incredibly practical as well. I'm not sure if that's one of your favorite books in the Bible, but it definitely is mine. And so some of the passages in the book of Proverbs are actually difficult subjects that parents need to have conversations with their children, but sometimes it feels more like having to tackle someone than maybe just having an easy conversation. We've had quite a few Freed Hardeman students that have gotten interested in rugby, and we've had a really good time playing that sport. And if you're familiar with rugby, if you're familiar with American football, you recognize there's a lot of tackling that has to be done. And it's not because that we hate the opponent or that we want to cause any harm to the other player on the other team. It's because we recognize that they're bringing, you know, the ball into our territory, and we have to make sure that that stops. They're encroaching on our home, on our end zone, and we need to make sure that they're not scoring any points on us. When we think about this from a spiritual point of view, I think sometimes the enemy is gaining ground into our homes, gaining ground into our families, because we're not willing to tackle those difficult topics that sometimes come up. Perhaps it's within questions that our children ask, or perhaps it's things that are just showing up on our TVs, but the enemy is continually making ground, and we need to sometimes be very defensively minded and thinking, how are we going to protect our families? How are we going to protect our own minds? How are we going to protect the Lord's church when it comes to the constant attacks of Satan? So that's what I wanted to think about a little bit tonight, specifically looking at the book of Proverbs. There are a few passages that I wanted us to look at. Now, the problem with these tough topics is sometimes we just would prefer not to talk about them. I know in my family growing up, it was very much the case that there were a few topics, and you can guess what those topics are. In fact, you won't have to guess. That'll be some of the points we bring up. But some of these topics we just don't talk about. Those things we would say, those are bad things. We just don't bring up alcohol. We don't talk about that. That's bad. We don't talk about sex because that's bad. If ever a commercial comes on TV that's provocative, we change the channel really quickly and we act like nothing happened. It's something that we just don't want to talk about because it's a bad thing. But I want to tell you something. I want us to be absolutely sure about this, that we need to be talking about these things, because if our children aren't hearing these things from the church, if they're not hearing these things from us, they definitely will be hearing it from the world. A passage that was read for us this evening, and I want to continue reading. We started reading Proverbs chapter 4. We read verses 1 through 9. Let's continue reading this passage, because the book of Proverbs is all about a father writing advice to his children. And he recognizes that if this advice doesn't come across, if the child doesn't receive this from a wise father, that he is going to be getting input from other people in his life. And he needs to be careful about what input he's willing to take. If we look at Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 10, we read, "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, or do not walk in the way of the evil one. Avoid it, do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep until they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. Now there's a phrase here that is used a few times in this passage about stumbling. And we know as parents, when we're instructing our children, or as Bible class teachers, when those precious young ones come into our classes, we are trying to prepare them so that they will not stumble. If we look in, I think it's verse 12, we want our children to succeed. As the writer of Proverbs says, if you run, you will not stumble. If you hold on to instruction, if you hold on to my good teaching, you won't stumble. But if we look at what the world's job is, what the world is desiring to do to our families, look down in verse 16, it says that they just cannot even sleep unless they have caused someone to stumble. That is what they are looking to do. That is what they are out there to do. And quite often, the things that they are stumbling on are things that we are too afraid to perhaps talk about in our own families. Things that God has given us instructions about within Scripture, but perhaps because of the negative aspects of what these things are, or maybe the awkwardness behind a certain conversation, they're not going to be hearing it from us. They're going to be hearing it from school or from sports, or be hearing it from everywhere else except within a godly home, exactly where they need to be hearing it from. And so today I really wanted to talk about the aspects of what we think, some certain things in Scripture that are very important that we need to be tackling these conversations within our own homes and within our congregation. Because when they hear it from the world, they need to be able to have a way, a viewpoint of God's point of view, so that they don't take those things and stumble. The first thing I want to talk about is that young people need to hear what God says about friendships. This is maybe an easier one than the next two topics, but I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. It is about this time of year and this passage that reminds me of a story that happened whenever I was a child. We lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia, for a little bit while my dad was preaching at a congregation there. And we had some neighbors next door that they had a son who was about my age and who was just always getting on people's nerves and always causing problems. And there was an older kid down the street. I was probably six. This older kid down the street was maybe 11, 12, maybe a little bit older. And one day, it was around this time of year when people are decorating for Halloween, there was a decoration set up in our neighbor's yard, this kid that, was kind of a pain. And so we didn't necessarily like him. Anytime he came around, it was a difficult day. But the neighbor from down the street came and said, I have a really good idea. I hope that, you'll join in with me on this. And so me being excited, this older kid is coming to talk to me. I thought, yeah, this is great. This is a really good opportunity for me to spend some time with this guy. And basically what happened, there was a decoration within these people's yard of pumpkins and other fall-type things, including harvest corn. The corn that has the different colored kernels, and it looks really pretty. And so he said, what we're going to do, we're going to take all this corn and take the kernels off, and please don't get any ideas of this. This is incredibly dangerous. And so he told us we needed to take the cobs of corn and put them in the tailpipe of our neighbor's car. And as a six-year-old, I had no idea the danger of what that would bring. I had no intention of doing anybody harm. I just thought this is kind of fun. Friend down the street, we're having a good time. And fortunately, very, very fortunately, they saw us doing this and we were caught in doing this. And so my dad took me inside and I didn't know exactly what would happen. I just thought, I'm going to be in big trouble. My dad kept one of those kernels of corn that we had taken off the cobs. And we went and sat down at the kitchen table and we opened up to Proverbs chapter 1. And he wanted me to keep that kernel of corn in my Bible for as long as I could. And I think I probably had that in my Bible up until high school. Maybe, I don't know if I brought it to Fried Hardeman. I don't have it with me. But it was something that really taught me a lesson. Now, I'm sure there was some other type of discipline involved, as you can imagine. But this was very important to our family to realize that there are certain aspects, the people that we spend time with, the people that we hang out with, can really shape who we become. And so the passage that he had me put that kernel of corn in my Bible was Proverbs chapter 1. Starting in verse 8, it reads, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." This word entice means to take advantage of somebody's gullibility. That's exactly what happened to me as a young kid, and I think my dad recognized that. But this passage is so perfect for exactly what happened. Verse 11, he says, come with us. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, for we will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their evil, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such is the way of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Now, I'm not expecting my children or maybe your children to go out and join some bloodthirsty gang that is trying to harm the innocent people of Chester County. But when we think about the principles that we see in this passage, it's very, very important that we make sure we are hanging out and spending time with the right people. So young people need to hear what God has to say about friendships. We need to find people in our lives, in our congregations that model Jesus, and do everything that we can to spend as much time as we can with those people, because we become like the people that we spend time with. And that is something that maybe we're still continuing to learn even though we're not children anymore. But it's something that our children will see. It's something that our children will learn from based on who we spend our time around. Those are the people that we value, and the things that they do, the things that they say, are the things that we're going to find ourselves doing and saying. So our children need to hear what God says about friendships. And I think that that point in the beginning of Proverbs kind of opens us up and opens up the writer of Proverbs to start talking about some more, maybe more sensitive subjects. And I think those are some things that perhaps we should be talking about in the Lord's church. Now, before we talk about these things, please know I'm not in any way trying to start any controversy. I'm just saying that if these things aren't spoken about in the home from a godly mother and a godly father who are trying to bring about wisdom to their children, if they're not spoken about in the Bible class, if they're not spoken about in the youth group so that they can have a good framework to be able to understand what is being said whenever people at school say these difficult and terrible things, there's going to be some trouble. And I'm sure many of us have that background of not being taught these things at home and then going out into the world and not having a way to process what it is that we're hearing. And so quite often negative things happen. So when we think about these things, please know I'm not trying to bring up any type of controversy. I just want us to look about the wisdom from the text of Proverbs. I think young people really need to hear what God says about alcohol. If we open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. Now, this father who's writing to his children has a lot to say about alcohol, and he does so in a very poetic way. Now, notice what he does not say. He does not encourage them to figure out how much alcohol they can consume before they become drunk. He doesn't debate the alcoholic content of Bible wine compared to wine today. He doesn't emphasize the health benefits or maybe the social lubrication that some people talk about when it comes to alcohol. And maybe thinking about different aspects of this study are very, very helpful, but let's look and see what he has to say in Proverbs chapter 29. Excuse me, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. And you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, the one who lies on top of a mast of a ship. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I wake up? Because I must have another drink. I think the father that is speaking to his children here about this, though there might be many other things to say, and those would be good things to talk about, good things to study from Scripture, I think the number one thing he's trying to get across is how unwise it is to be involved in drinking alcohol. According to this passage, everything that alcohol promises is a lie. It promises joy, but actually it brings about woe. It promises pleasure, but it brings about sorrow. It promises to take the edge off, perhaps, of a tough day at work or at school, but it actually brings about a lot of strife and a lot of complaining. When we think about this passage and not going more into depth than what we see here, the concerned parent is focused on the final outcome of their children's lives. And according to this, the final outcome of alcohol is a bite or a sting. And that's something that we would want to keep away from our children. The final outcome, something the concerned parent is looking about, and the very last verse of this passage emphasizes that this is something that leads very quickly to addiction. So we have to be very concerned about that, not just for ourselves, but for our children as well. I think the Bible has a lot of wisdom to share about alcohol, but perhaps because it's a tough topic, we are unwilling to listen. I hope that that's not the case in your family. I hope that's something that we can openly talk about and share and study and learn together, because this is the place where those talks need to be had before they find out about it at school, before they find out about it from friends. We need to be the place where they can safely talk to us about these kind of issues. And so starting, you know, and getting into another topic that's very, very important that we need to focus on and that the Bible has a lot to say about, we need to talk to our young people. They need to hear what God has to say about sex. If we open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5. Now, what the writer of Proverbs is doing is very, very much different than perhaps what has taken place in your family or what took place in my family. Anytime this subject came up, it was a, nope, we don't talk about that, we don't do that. Maybe when you're older. You know, there's a lot of waiting to try to learn these things later. But by the time my parents were ready to talk about it, I had already learned everything that I thought I needed to know from school, from people that were happily willing to share this information and not in a very godly way at all. If we open up to the book of Proverbs, I think the place that we need to start this conversation with our children is the same place that it starts here in Proverbs chapter 5, to talk about the goodness and the love and the wonderful relationship that takes place within a marriage. Something that God has created to be very, very good, to be incredibly wonderful between a husband and his wife. And when we read this passage, that is what is emphasized first, the goodness of this gift that God has given, but then how terrible it can be when it is taken out of its proper context and used in ways that God never intended for his people. If we look in verse 15, we have some poetic imagery that reads, "Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well." If we keep reading, we realize that he's speaking about a relationship of love within a marriage covenant. It says in verse 16, "Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth." When we're talking about this subject, it doesn't have to be something that is just terribly negative and we just stop talking or we get nervous and don't know what to say. It's a very good thing that God has created for a husband and a wife. If we continue reading, we're going to get another clue about how good it can be. If we look in verse 20, at the end of verse 19, it says about this person's wife, "Be intoxicated always in her love." Now, this is kind of an interesting phrase. When we think about intoxication, we might be thinking about our last slide, thinking about alcohol. But this passage tells us that this is something that God has created, and it actually causes us incredible pleasure, and it brings about an intoxication almost of the mind. So the Bible, I think, is what it is telling us is that we should be intoxicated with the love that comes from a marriage relationship that God has given. Sexual love is intoxicating, and God has made it that way to strengthen the bond between a husband and wife. But because of how powerful it is and how intoxicating it is, we have to be incredibly careful whenever we start thinking about those things. And I think the writer of Proverbs recognized this, and it was something that he decided to share with his son. He says in verse 20, "Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress?" And I think maybe in our translations, it certainly does in mine, verses 21 to 23 are separated from what is before as maybe a new section of material. But I want to read this passage in light of what has just been said. We read in verse 21, "For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." Whatever it is that we do with our own bodies, whatever it is we do when we think that we're completely alone, God knows about these things. And if we are teaching our children and raising them up, we need to teach them so that they can know that God is going to hold them accountable for what it is that they do in this context as well. Hebrews 13, verse 4 tells us that the adulterer and the fornicator will be judged because the marriage bed is to be considered holy. Now, if we continue reading verse 22, "The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray." When we think about this passage, this is not something for us to be joking about. It's not something that is just some optional topic that maybe we'll bring up one day with our kids, maybe we won't. But according to this passage, it is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of whether or not our children are going to be trapped in the tempter's snare, or whether they will be free to understand what these things are and to understand the good gift that God has provided for us within marriage. It is an incredible gift and one of the first ones that God recognized that Adam needed there in the garden. When we think about these difficult topics, when we think about the book of Proverbs, it's not all just doom and gloom and I'm really nervous, I'm going to have to talk to my children about this difficult stuff. There are good things, there are good self-help books that we can get a hold of that are written by Christian authors so we can know how to maybe have these difficult conversations. And for some of us, maybe we didn't have these conversations held with us while we were young. And so as we grew up, and we got older and we learned some information from sources that maybe we shouldn't have, we recognize the trouble and the difficulty that perhaps brought into our lives. And so I pray for those of us who are young parents to consider these are things that we can start talking about very early on. With our children, obviously, we're not going into huge detail about any of these things, but we are saying there are some differences between a boy and a girl. And there are some commitments that God has given that whenever someone decides to be married, it's a boy and a girl together forever. And when you marry it, you need to be marrying a Christian. And other things when we talk about those difficult topics. And we can find ourselves building a culture of accountability within our family, but also of comfort. Finding ourselves being the place where our children can come and ask questions when they do arise. Now, for those of us that, you know, aren't in that position anymore, maybe we've already gone through that, please offer your advice. You know, if you are older and much wiser, there are some young parents out there who are looking for that wisdom, who are looking for that that help during this difficult time in life. If you're not there yet, if you're not married, if you're single, and perhaps that's something you're looking forward to one day, this is something you need to be thinking about now, because it comes up so quickly, and you're going to be without sleep, and you're going to be trying to work, but also raise a family, and all of a sudden, here are some difficult questions. Now, what does the Bible say about those difficult questions? How do I take care of my family, not just physically, not just providing for their needs, but providing a spiritual path for them on their way to heaven? As we think about those things today, I encourage you to open up the book of Proverbs and to think about a wise parent who is sharing some very good information with his child. Our Father in heaven is always willing to share his advice for us, and all we have to do is open up his word to study and to see what that is. Maybe that's something that we haven't been doing lately. I want to encourage you to do that, to open up and see what your Father has to say on difficult topics that are taking place in your life. He wants to hear from you what your cares and what your concerns are, but he also has some very good things to say. And I pray that we would be willing to open up and hear what our Father says. So at this point, if there's anything at all that you need from this congregation, this is a very loving group of people who are very willing to help you in anything at all that you might need, be it encouragement, be it accountability, maybe it's prayer, or maybe it's support for some difficult things that you're going through. Perhaps you've never even been baptized into Christ, and you want to know what it's like to have a loving Father who is happy and willing and ready to take care of you. If there's anything at all that you need tonight, please come forward now as we stand and sing our invitation song.